Why is it so hard to quit? Why do we not just want to leave when many times we know the other side is probably better? When it's better to leave, why don't we do it? Today, we learn more about quitting. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. It is Russ with you. Okay, over the last couple of weeks, we've had some fantastic guests on the podcast, right? We had a guest that talked about career burnout. And we talked about, prior to that, finding a new job because there's so many people over the last couple of years that have quit their current job. And then we talked about toxic relationships and when to get out of those toxic relationships. Okay. I've got the perfect kind of like, this is like the icing on the cake today for those shows, because we're going to talk about quitting, leaving, how difficult it is to do so. And I'll tell you why this is hitting home for me. But first, I want to introduce my guest, Dr. Jennifer Wisdom. She is a psychologist, an author, and a consultant. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I came across your website, Leaving Revolution, and I was like, okay, I've got to get her onto my show. And then I checked out, you actually have a podcast as well, which I listened to over the weekend. We'll get all those links in the description to talk about that more in a bit. But leaving, okay, it's difficult, right? So in November of last year, and I talked about this a little bit on my career burnout show, I was feeling quite burnt out. And I got to tell you, leaving my job and starting a new one was one of the hardest things that I felt like I had to deal with, because there were a couple of things going through my mind. First of all, I felt like I was giving up. You know, like I felt like I'm not taking this to the finish line. I'm quitting. I'm sitting down. I had that feeling. And then I just had all of the emotions around it, because I was at that place for 12 years. So to leave something where I've got all these seeds planted for 12 years, not that easy either. So is this just huge emotional burden to try to leave? And now I'm looking in the rearview mirror of that. I'm you know, a few months later here as I record the podcast, and I'm glad I did. I mean, it was a good decision for several things. And again, I don't want to repeat myself for those that listen to the other podcast, but even my heart rate is down. My attitude is better. I'm happier now because I changed situations. So, okay, here's the big question. Am I out of the ordinary, or is this what other people are going through as well?
What you talked about is exactly what just about everybody goes through. There are some exceptions. There's the person who, you know, flipped the hatch on the airplane and slid down and said, you know, see ya, I'm out. There's some exceptions, but most people struggle just like you struggle. And unfortunately, that means that a lot of people stay in situations much longer than they should, because leaving's painful. It's hard. Even when you're leaving to go on to a good job or something better, or you know you have to go, it's still hard.
And what is that? Is that just the fear of the unknown? Is that the fear of like missing out on what's going to happen at this, or fear of incompletion? Like what do you trace that to? Or is it all of those?
it's a lot of fear. So it's the fear that I'm making a mistake by leaving. There's the, like you mentioned, the guilt about like, I should have, I was giving up. I should stay longer. There's all the emotional changes to, these are people that I've seen every workday for the last 12 years, and now I'm not going to be in their lives anymore, and they're not going to be in mine. There may be some unfinished projects, unfinished other stuff that's not official. There may be all kinds of fears. And I think the big one is that I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to screw up, and it's going to be all my fault. Why couldn't I have just stayed?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think, okay, I'm talking about it for jobs, but now last week on the podcast, I'm talking about toxic relationships and getting out of one of those. That's even, I would think, more difficult than quitting a job. And sometimes quitting a marriage or quitting a long-term relationship. Do you see that those are closely related to each other when you're talking to people?
They're very related. I mean, I'm a leaver. I have left I left home, I've left jobs, I've left a marriage, I've left other relationships, I've left the country, I've left cities, you know, like I've left so much stuff.
Yeah.
I was looking for something to help me kind of think through, why is it that I tend to leave and many other people tend to stay? And I couldn't find anything. So I started interviewing people and asking them and then eventually started writing about it. But I think part of what's interesting is that I kind of thought I'm an altogether leaver because I have left these things. But what I realized in the course of writing this is that I'm a job leaver, I'm a house or apartment leaver, but I'm a relationship stayer and like overstayer, like by 3 years overstayer. I think people have different levels of comfort. So for example, related to houses, people who haven't known me very long are sometimes like, I buy a house and they say, oh, you're going to settle down here. And I'm like, no, I'm just buying a house. That's totally different. Because I moved all the time when I was a kid. Like my parents' hobby was like buying houses, bizarrely. But I'm pretty comfortable buying a house, being there for a couple of years and then moving on. Whereas for other people, they feel like, oh my God, a house, it's the biggest thing I'm ever going to buy. And that means I'm never going to move. And that's going to be my neighborhood for the rest of my life. I just think about it differently. And it's not a right or wrong. I mean, there's, you know, things that are better or worse for you financially, but people have different perspectives on what it means to buy a house, not just the logistics or the financial aspect, but kind of that feeling and that emotional connection. And there's differences like that related to buying a house. There's also differences like that related to relationships or jobs or all kinds of other things that we either stay with or we leave.
Yeah. And you know, I lived in the same house for, you know, the first, whatever, 20 years of my life or 18 years of my life or whatever. Do you think, and you moved around a lot. Do you think that those like childhood things are coming back and making it easier for you to leave, not just the home, but other things?
I think so. And I'm hearing your question in two ways. So one is like, do you have some deep-seated trauma from your childhood that
there is that.
It's possible. But the other side is the way I see it, where I think I'm more comfortable with this. I mean, again, there's pros and cons.
It's a perhaps a learned behavior. Like you learned it, that it's okay to move.
Sure. And every organization and neighborhood needs movers, needs leavers and stayers. If we had an organization that was all stayers, that would be really stagnant. If it was all leaders, that would be really unstable. So it takes all kinds. And part of what I'm talking about from having listened to so many different stories about leaving and staying is that there's no one right size fits all. It really is what is right for you. What will help you get to whatever it is you want to get to.
And how do we? How do we figure that out?
Well, that's the hard part.
Yeah, right?
I think the way I describe it is kind of, it starts with this sense of awareness that something could be better. And whether that's my relationship could be better, my job could be better, whatever that is. People, I heard a lot of stories about people leaving their religion. It's so fascinating. I love this topic. But maybe let's talk about jobs because it's a little easier than relationships for this one. But, you know, this idea of maybe I could do better at work. You know, maybe I could make more money or find something more satisfying or something that's closer to my passions or something that's, you know, making a better footprint on the earth or whatever. You just kind of have that spark, is how I call it, a little spark that says maybe. And then most of us just totally shut that down because of all the things you were saying, like, I feel like I'm giving up. This is too emotional. This is all this other, you know, how am I going to make money? I have to pay my mortgage or my rent. Like, what am I? And you shut it down. And part of what I talk about is like, let it come up. Like, it's okay to shut it down. That's fine. Just come back to it a little bit later. See what that feels like. And then see what those things are. And then I talk about how from more than 100 interviews with people, I put together this process where we start with that awareness and then we move our way toward thinking about, is this something I can really do? And then ultimately we can make a decision and then go back on it and make a decision and go back on it. Sometimes that happens. And then we can start, once we made a decision, we can start preparing. We can actually do the leaving itself. And then ideally the last step is some sort of integration of this process and this experience. And at any point, going through, you know, awareness to confidence to decision and so on, you can say, I don't want to leave. Okay. Then you just step off that process. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get everybody to leave everything. Just trying to help people make it a more thoughtful process and realize that leaving is sometimes the absolute healthiest thing we can do.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, like I feel like I didn't even think of that part of leaving, like the health side of it. And I definitely, I mean, like I said, heart rate, all of these various things are better after I left. I was more, you know, I mean, it was more geared towards either, you know, like money, benefits, work from home, like, you know, things like that. Like, that's what I was thinking when I left. But I didn't even think of the health benefits. And there, I think there's definitely with jobs and with relationships and with other things that you might be leaving, there's definite health benefits to that. Even moving to different places like that, there could be health consequences that are good for that. I want to dig in a little bit more though, because here's what I'm thinking. So I've also, you know, I've managed people for years. And one thing that I've noticed is it seems like the different generations are quitting differently. And so like I'm Gen X and I just didn't want to quit. You know, I just didn't want to quit. And I don't know if that's, you know, how I grew up or what, but when I think of like, I look at my dad was at the same job for most of his life. He retired, got bored, went back to work and worked again for 15, 20 years for the post office. So he got two pensions, which is fantastic, but you know, he worked forever at these jobs. So that's what I saw growing up. But then, you know, like millennials, one of the stereotypes is that they're more likely to quit or just like be like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to jump jobs, because what we're seeing is a lot of that generation is at a job for a year or two and then they move. Yeah. And that's sort of now becoming even the norm on the Gen X side and other generations as well. So is there differences between the generations as far as leaving and more comfort with it?
Absolutely. So I'm Gen X as well. Baby boomers, so kind of our parents' generation, mm-hmm. When they came into the job force, first of all, a bachelor's degree pretty much guaranteed you could support a family of four.
On right. And it was like $1,000 to get a bachelor's degree, but you know, we won't get into that.
Very different situation. They also had a defined benefit plan, if I can get into retirement for just a moment, mm-hmm. where your company that you stayed with for 40 years agreed to pay you a certain amount, a pension or such, every month. Now we have a defined contribution plan, which means they give you the money to put in the 401k, but if the market goes bust, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
So very different model. The previous model really encouraged people to stay at the same company, and these current models facilitate moving around. Then when you add that so many millennials and Gen Z are needing to do side hustles to pay off student loans, mm-hmm. and then on top of that, people yell at them like, why are you still living with your parents when they have $40,000 in debt? Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of pieces going on. And I love talking about millennials and Gen Z and intergenerational stuff. So this question is just perfect for me. So us Gen Xers, we saw our parents stay at a job, and for many of us, stay miserable for 40 years or more.
Right.
And I think we're the first generation, the Gen Xers are kind of the first generation to really start thinking about that work-life balance. There was none of that with our parents' generation. You just work till you drop and that's it. We started this whole notion of work-life balance, and then millennials and Gen Z are taking it even further, which I think is amazing, which is this job is not working for me.
Yeah.
It's not working. I'm out. And it could be not working because you're treating me poorly. You're disrespecting me. It could be you're not taking advantage of what I have to offer. I'm bored. It could be any number of reasons. And right. I think whereas Gen Xers and baby boomers would go through that mental machination, like you talked about, have I done enough? Have I done enough to really be able to walk away? Millennials and Gen Z would promote what I agree with now, which is there's no doing enough. You can leave because you want to. That's reason enough. Yeah. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to give everything to make this job work. And, you know, I learned that the hard way, but I think a lot of the millennials and Gen Zers are just saying, this isn't working for me. You're not paying me enough to be treated like this or to be undervalued or whatever. I'm going to something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had that a little early in my career. So I worked in radio. And man, radio in the 90s, this is right around the deregulation of radio. And so it became where there was about a 2 month or so period where there was a different company that was paying me each paycheck because it was being bought and sold. And eventually, you know, it became iHeart or Clear Channel for a while. And then but back then my station, it was a mom and pop station. They owned 12 stations and that was it. That's all they could own legally, you know? So then it turned into this bought and sold thing. But the story behind that was I saw all of that. I saw like it changing hands so much. And then because so many people wanted to work in radio and had all these dreams of, you know, being the next Howard Stern at that point, you know, that there were like always people like almost literally a line waiting outside to replace you, you know, like, so they would fire people every single week. At one point I was offered a different job. And so I went in and I said, I'm thinking about this. And just me saying that I'm thinking about it, I was done. It was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, you made the decision for me. Great. And they had to give me, you know, a little severance and all that stuff. So I'm like, sweet, I'm going to go to Disneyland. So I learned early on in my career that leaving doesn't have to be a hard thing. But at some point, I feel like, I don't know what it was, but I feel like I forgot that, you know, over time. And that's why I stayed for 12 years in my one position there, because I just got comfortable, you know?
Yeah, that happens. We get comfortable at something, even if we're not terribly happy. And yeah. I think of it as like changing banks. Changing banks is a pain in the neck, especially right. With all the, you know,
the switching costs, right?
It just takes effort. So most of us stay with the bank we're at, whether we're happy or not. And somebody was making a commercial out of that. Like, we make it easy to change banks. Come to us.
Right.
But we get comfortable and we don't want to change. And it's hard, like you said, to look for another job while you have a job. And then knowing that if your people that you work for now find out that you're looking for another job, they might just let you go right then.
Right.
Because you're being disloyal or whatever. Do you want to stay there? I mean,
it's
a different situation inflation is through the roof and it's hard to get jobs and that sort of thing right now. I mean, we're kind of flush right now, especially with all the great resignation, and a lot of people are taking the opportunity toward what we hope is the end of the pandemic to hop around, and businesses mm-hmm. are looking for people. Businesses are also needing to provide a better opportunity for people to come work for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be that they had the upper hand. And like you said, businesses can move around. They could do whatever they want. And employees were just kind of at the mercy of their businesses. That's starting to shift a little bit. And you can see some of the backlash. Companies don't like not being in charge. I get that. At the same time, part of what I do is work with companies around, how do you help your people stay? Because people don't usually leave because they're bored. They usually leave because their boss is a jerk. Or because they make a lot more money somewhere else.
Yeah.
Those are the things they leave for. And those are things companies can work on. Yeah. Make sure you de-jerkify your workforce. That's going to go a long way toward retention. But most companies don't look at that.
Well, you know, and that's difficult though. So I ran a company for a long time, and then, you know, I was like, you know, it was a vice president title. So I had managers reporting to me. So, you know, it was like lots of people reporting to me in that position. And I remember doing my first interview way back in radio days. Nobody ever trained me on how to do interviews. Nobody ever trained me on how to, you know, like do any of these things as far as how to be a leader. You just kind of have to learn as you go. Do you see that when you're talking with these companies, are you trying to help them to be better leaders so that they can not have people leaving them?
You're hitting all my greatest hits here.
I love it.
Yes, I train people in companies to be better leaders. This happens a lot in the field I'm in mental health and substance use, behavioral health. People are trained to be clinicians and then they're put in management roles and they keep managing as if they're clinicians, which you can imagine how that does not work very well.
Right.
So I work with them on how do you adjust to being a manager? And sometimes there's perspectives that are really unhelpful. Like, I can either be all up in their business, giving them therapy, giving my staff therapy, or I can be a manager and be mean. And it's like, no. Yeah. You need to have a good boundary about right. not terrorizing your staff. And at the same, I'm making that word up, but at the same time, being a manager, setting a boundary or mm-hmm. saying, you know, we really do need to keep up productivity. I'm sorry that happened. If you need a break, you can take a day off or whatever, but we still need to keep it moving. That's not mean. That's right. being an appropriate manager.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I remember, I almost remember the day that I realized as a manager that I just need to be myself. You know, like I need to be treat others like I would be treated, like I want to be treated. And just like, there was this weird epiphany that I had when running my company. I was just like, oh, well, that's simple. But it was weird that it took me so long to get there and kind of, you know, make that realization that, oh, just treat other people like I want to be treated. Oh, cool. You know, like, and I feel like a lot of people miss out on that. When they're trying to become a leader. But I also think, and now I might hit another one of your greatest hits, the way that you're talking to different employees, the way that you're communicating with different people, like you can't always communicate the same either. Like you want to communicate the way that, you know, they feel comfortable with that, and learning that, that's almost like, that's where your psychology background comes into play, right?
Absolutely. And I wanted to toss in this quote that I absolutely love. Warren Bennis said, becoming a leader is synonymous with becoming yourself. It's precisely that simple. And it's also that difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yes. And I think part of where I see, especially early career managers, people who are new managers and leaders, where they get stuck is that issue of flexibility that you were talking about. Because they think, oh, okay, now I found myself. I know who I am. So then that means I need to speak the same way to everyone. And that's not the most effective thing. Sometimes people get stuck on that and they say, no, I'm me. So therefore, I speak in this way. Therefore, everyone else needs to adjust. And again, mm-hmm. is the purpose of being a leader to express your personality, or is the purpose of being a leader to have other people be motivated and get the thing done? And I would argue you can express your personality through what you're doing. You don't need to do that at work necessarily, but the purpose of being a leader is motivating people and helping them get the thing done that needs to be done. And the way to do that is to speak their language. So some people are motivated by, I want to be out of here by 5. Okay. That's one way to motivate them. Other people are motivated by making a difference. Other people are motivated by following the rules and checking all the boxes. So find a way to speak that speaks to those individual people. And it doesn't mean you're being a hypocrite. It just means you're helping motivate people to do the thing. And again, I'm assuming you're using these powers for good, of course.
Of course. I find the only thing that I've figured out that motivates an entire staff is donuts. that was all I could do. They would motivate every single person in the same way. Everything else had to be kind of catered to the individual, but donuts. Now it's specific donuts for certain people though. So I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer Wisdom. She's a psychologist, an author, and a consultant. You're listening to Learning More. I want to thank you for subscribing, and the reviews, fantastic. If you can do that, that's always a great thing. And Jennifer, you're a podcaster. You understand reviews. We got to get those, right? Like that's always a good thing. So I listened to your podcast this last weekend. I had actually, when I first reached out to you, I queued up your podcast, and then I had something come up. I walked away, and then it just came on over the weekend. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. So if you want to learn more about this, definitely, please do go check out her podcast. It is linked in the description. What are some of the topics that you talk about?
Oh my gosh. Well, the podcast is called Millennial Wisdom, and it's just really open around what millennials are up to. So we have folks talk about a lot of career transitions. That's a big one. I always ask, my first question is always, what do you do now? And tell us your path to get here. So it's fascinating. Oh my gosh, I love hearing this stuff. So hear about how people made different decisions. There've been people who've had significant physical limitations or family limitations or other kinds of things, or people who just didn't know what they want to do, or people who have been just so focused and passionate from day one, and how everybody manages, and a really different spectrum of jobs. From we had someone who was a pastor. We have motivational speakers. We have people who make crafts. We have people who do marketing. We have people who I had a nomadic marketer, like people who do all kinds of things.
Nice.
It's fascinating, especially as a Gen Xer, to hear the different assumptions and the different ways that millennials are making decisions. And it's all, I mean, I'm seeing it and I'm thinking this is based on their life experience as individuals, of course, but also as millennials. People love to be up on millennials. Maybe that's why I have such a soft spot, but oh my God, these young people came of age with 9/11 and there's war and pandemic and college student loans, like crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Like, this is the most resilient, amazing, hardworking group of people. I have yet to find somebody who only has one job. Everybody's But then people call them lazy. Like, that's crazy.
Right. So, and I mean, you know, I did a show about generations and talking about millennials. They've had it so rough because, okay, first of all, 9/11 and you know, school shootings were, you know, happening, like all of these different things that they had, all these tragedies that they had to deal with growing up, and then a crappy economy to top it all off, and house prices that are like insane, education prices that are insane. Like, we thought it was bad, but no, it's way worse now. And I've got two kids that will be going to college soon, and I'm definitely paying attention to those college prices. They're insane. Right.
And a bachelor's degree is no longer a guarantee.
Right.
I mean, we have the best educated baristas in the world here in the U.S., but that's, I mean, nothing against baristas and nothing against people who choose not to go to college. That's very legitimate choices there. But at the same time, that investment in education doesn't pay off, doesn't have the guarantee the way it used to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a totally different world now, for sure. Why did you pick this topic? You've written books on it. You've got a podcast on it. You're coming on my podcast to talk about leaving. Why did you pick this?
It's a great question. I have been fascinated with movement and transitions and how to help people get settled in organizations, how to help them advance in organizations, how to help them leave organizations. Like, it feels like, it's like if I look back at my career, I can see all the pieces of I was a journalist and I did psychology and I was in academia and writing and all these other things. I see it that way, but it's like if I look at it from kind of a 45 degree angle or slightly different angle, it's all about transitions and leaving and staying and making those choices. And I'm just so fascinated by it. And again, the more I talk to people about it, people have incredibly powerful stories of leaving and angst and struggle. But you know what they don't have? They don't have regret about leaving. Not a single person said they regret leaving. They only regret not leaving sooner. Some of them regret the way they left. They wish they would have been kinder or whatever. Nobody regrets leaving. Yeah. Nobody I talked to regretted leaving. And that's
And as a Gen Xer, you'll get this song. I can't think of the name of the song right off the top of my head. Now that I'm totally blanking on it now that I've plugged it. But the line in the song is, every new beginning comes from some other new beginning's end. And I love that. Because you can't start something new if you're never going to quit. You can't start something new.
Closing time.
Closing time. There you go. Oof. Thank you.
And sometimes you got to let go of stuff so you can let the good stuff, let better stuff in. And it's hard. It's easier to let go when something is so obviously terrible. The job stinks, the salary stinks, everything stinks. But most times it's not quite that simple, even though that's not simple. It's not quite that straightforward where maybe the job stinks, your boss is a jerk, but it pays great, you know, it's really easy work, but yet they're jerks or whatever. There's always some combination. And I always like to see whenever I make a decision, and I've seen this with other people as well, we make a decision, usually something comes along pretty soon after that just confirms it. You know, like, I've decided I'm going to leave because my boss is really a jerk and I'm not getting it. Then, all right, I did this. And then I go to work the next day and the boss is like super jerk. I'm like, ooh, that confirms I made the right decision.
Right. Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, it stinks that they're a jerk, but, you know, right. You get that confirmation that you're making the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in a way to, okay, if you make that decision, you make that change and you start to feel good again, it's sort of that law of attraction a little, you know, like other good things start to happen, you know, because you're more open to seeing those, or however, who knows how the universe works. We're not getting into that today, but it really does open up different things coming at you.
You're a happy person. You have a lower blood pressure. You're enjoying your life more. So you're going to bring more of that into your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just like that positive energy that comes from what you think is going to be a negative thing. Like when you're in it, you think it's going to be a negative thing, but it really does. On the other side of it, I feel it's generally pretty positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, people don't like to do it, but they're glad they've done it.
So if somebody is, you know, downloading this podcast, they're listening to this show because it's titled, you know, quitting, they're probably thinking about quitting. Uh-huh. So what advice do you have for somebody that is going through this right now? They're thinking of quitting something.
Yeah. So my initial thought was do it. my advice would be, rather than do it, my advice would be thoughtful. Think through all the steps of why you want to leave, what you're looking for, what you want instead. Think through your feelings, you know, what scares you, what excites you, what you're looking forward to. Those feelings are important too. And then you can think through logistics and what the steps would be and where you're going and all those kinds of things. So there's a lot of pieces. I actually walk through all these steps in the book, and I have some lists of, like, if you're leaving your job, here's some things to consider.
Oh, nice.
If you're leaving on an adventure, if you're leaving a partner, here's some things to consider. So there's a lot of pieces in there, but I think it boils down to, the big part is, be intentional, be thoughtful, and allow yourself to feel.
Yeah. And I think, you know, listen to those feelings, put yourself into that position, right? Like, you know, I'm thinking, oh, well, I get to, you know, work from home. I get to work less hours. I get to do, like, what would I do if I'm working less hours? Oh, I'm going to barbecue more, which means I'm going to be outside more. Or maybe I'll work by the gazebo every once in a while outside. Yeah. Like, if you imagine those things and picture them, and, you know, who knows? Some people, like, the grass is always greener, I guess, is what some people say. And maybe that's the anti-quitting approach to things, but you can look at the neighbor's grass and think, oh, well, you know what? let's picture myself there. What if I was there? And I think that's always, and that was one of the things that kind of got me through it too, was thinking about, okay, well, what if, what am I going to miss out on? And what am I going to enjoy? Like, I just kind of did, it wasn't a pros cons list. It was more of that type of list that I put together for myself.
And if you take that, what if yes or what if no? What will I miss? What will I gain? And think of that in the context of, what do I want?
Yeah.
We get so stuck in those patterns, like you mentioned, where we forget what we want. But if you're intentional, if you're thoughtful, if you think through, what is it that would really bring me joy? Not right. just something that would be okay, but something that would bring me joy. And then how do I find a way to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's, like, ridiculous. If I had a yacht, that would bring me joy, you know, but I can't stop what I'm doing. Like, I get it. There's contingencies. There's family considerations. There's mortgages to pay, kids' braces to pay for, whatever. I'm not saying it can happen overnight, but if you focus on what it is you truly want, what you truly desire, what will truly bring you joy, take one step toward it.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll at least be closer.
Exactly. You'll be one step closer each time. Well, you know, it's funny that I think, you know, I've talked on one of my other podcasts, and I know I keep referring to other podcasts, but I'm trying to get people to listen. no, I'm just kidding. I talked on one of my other podcasts about spreadsheeting stuff out, you know, and we were talking about finances, and I would throw stuff in spreadsheets and do that. Like, that's how I work. I actually made, I threw all this stuff into a spreadsheet and I assigned it points and I looked at a chart afterwards. That's how geeky I got.
That makes me so excited. I love spreadsheets.
Oh, nice.
An earlier version of the book had spreadsheets in it.
I knew I liked you.
The spreadsheets. No. I think in spreadsheets and flowcharts, and it was terrible when I was 10, but now it's amazing.
Yeah.
But I know not everybody thinks that way. So if you need to do like a spreadsheet is like, it's like heaven. Right. but if you're not a spreadsheet person, that's okay. You could just scribble it on a piece of paper, scribble it on a napkin.
Yeah, write it on exactly. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, like you said, be thoughtful about it. I think that is definitely, well, I'm going to steal your last name here and say that that's some real wisdom. There you go. So, and actually I just have, before we talk about the book, I do have one question for you. Are you ever going to leave this, like doing this, this particular topic of leaving? Will you ever quitting?
Oof. You know, I don't know. part of writing the book and doing all that research and talking to all those people is I'm curious now.
Yeah. Right.
Day. You know, I don't know. I will never know what it's like to have a 50th anniversary. The longest I've ever lived in one house is 5 years. But, you know, it's kind of nice to stay. I mean, I'm hearing these stories about staying and it sounds kind of nice. And I'm not sure how to manage that. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'll write a book about staying.
There you go. So tell us, you got to tell us about the book and where we can find that. I'm assuming it's on Amazon and we can throw a link, but tell me about the book.
Absolutely. So it's called Leaving Revolution, How We Are Learning to Let Go and Move On. And one of the people who endorsed it was so sweet. She called it part how to, part memoir. Oh.
Nice.
A lot of stuff in there. It's got interviews with more than 100 people about their leaving and staying experiences and making those decisions. And I think the most heartfelt response I've received from people is, "You really unsettled me. It really made me think differently." And
I like that.
I'll take it. I love it.
Beautiful feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's available on Amazon, ebook and print, and it's available through booksellers. It might not be on the shelves, but they can definitely order it. So it's out there.
Okay. Yeah. And it's also at leavingrevolution.com.
Yes. And I have a, thank you for bringing that up. I also have a leaving playlist.
Oh.
Leaving songs.
Is Closing Time on there?
It's not.
Oh, well, now you got to add it. Now I can't believe I forgot that name.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of songs that talk about leaving, and they're not all, you know, like sad songs about I'll miss you, but a lot of them about that challenge, that place of being in the middle and trying to decide what to do with your life. Like that's, I don't know, leaving is at the core of figuring out what you want to do with your life, who you want to be.
Well, so I did used to, you know, I was, like I mentioned, I was in the radio, on radio. My last song I ever played, At Last, Etta James. I did that for that. And I did that for when I used to DJ, like private parties. And I have a little photo of the last time I played a song at a party, and it was At Last. So you got to make sure that one's on there too.
All right.
Etta James. Got to love it. Uh-huh. So thank you. You know, it's like, I love talking about this, and I love, you know, like, because I just went through this and I know that a lot of people are going through this. I love that you're covering this and, you know, making people know that it's okay to be afraid of this, but it's also okay to quit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Americans are such leavers, and we're so bad at leaving. So make it a little bit easier and normalize it. It's okay to leave. It really is.
Yeah. Well, so definitely please do go check out her podcast, her book, and her website. All of that is linked in the podcast description. Jennifer, I hate to leave you, but thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. We encourage you and thank you for rating this podcast and sharing it with your friends. As with any podcast that gives medical or legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice, and we encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. On the next Learning More, we're going to talk about coping with addiction. From a person that not only struggled with her addictions, but was also given drugs without her knowledge by her boyfriend. It's an amazing story, and that is coming up next week. If you've got something that you would like to learn more about, let us know. Just head over to our website and submit your ideas and comments at learningmorepodcast.com. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.